Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, this message is for all of us, but specifically to Beth and David and Norma. This is for you, because today you're going to be prayed over and you're going to be welcomed in as people who are furthering their training, and in case of Beth and David, who have been trained and will serve us and the Word of God this next year as Family Life ministers. And I'm very excited about the fact that God has blessed us as a small congregation. We have been blessed in so many ways. I don't know if you realize this, but for our size of a church, we have a tremendous blessing here of having such gifted people within the congregation. A little bit more engineers, maybe, than we should, but that's okay. Blessed with people with a heart for outreach and a heart to reach students, which is awesome, and with people willing to give of their time, talents, and treasures to serve in areas of ministry. And we are extremely blessed. But today I want to talk about Paul's words to the church, where he had experienced persecution when he first went there. In Acts chapter 16, we hear of Paul's journey to Philippi, remember? Where he's going through Macedonia. He arrives in Philippi. And what did he do in Philippi that really explains a lot of what he's talking about in his letter? Do you remember what happened in Philippi? Anybody remember? Pardon me? I can't hear you. Ephesus is where he stayed the longest. He was in prison there, and we have the story of the baptism of the Philippian jailer and his family. Remember that? But what also happened there? It was one of the first places where he used his Roman citizenship. And the reason he used his Roman citizenship there to humble the people who put him in jail was because Philippi, which was captured under Octavian, had the same privileges and rights as a citizen of Rome. And so it was a place where Roman soldiers went to retire. And so when he showed his Roman citizenship, they moved. They acted. It was something that was of extreme importance. And it's interesting because Paul, who had to go out and find Lydia because there wasn't a synagogue there, there wasn't a Jewish population there, it's interesting, when he writes back to them, he wants them to understand who they are and to whom they belong, and he uses the term in Philippians of your citizenship is in heaven. He talks about citizenship as an important value, and when we talk in our church about belong, believe, become, we want every one of you to understand first and foremost to whom you belong and that you have citizenship in heaven by belonging to Jesus Christ. And your citizenship is extremely valuable, number one. The second thing that he wants the people in Philippi to understand is the importance of knowing the truth. And he talks a lot in the letter to the Philippians of the importance of understanding the truth of the gospel. You can understand if there's very little Jewish presence there, they wouldn't have a long history of understanding the Old Testament. But that they would understand grace and not works. And it's interesting because he uses in our text today, he uses that word to work, continue to work. I can't remember the exact words here. To work on your, work out your salvation. Is that the term? Yes. And if you stop there, it's interesting because it says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If you stop there, it sounds like he's telling them to get to work. To work out your salvation, doesn't it? And so many people, they stop there. And I can't understand that because that's not a period. That's a comma. You come to a stop if there's a period. What do you do if it's a comma? Take a breath, right? Keep moving. What does it say? For it is God who works in you. And so today I'd like to talk to you about what it means to be in ministry. Because it's always interesting to me, on the day of installation at any... I was a youth pastor before I was a vicar and then a pastor. And at every installation service, it's kind of an amazing event. It's not as good as my wedding day was, but it is an amazing and an exciting time because it's a new start. How many of you like new starts? Moving into a new house, getting a new job. It's always exciting, right? Retiring from your job. There's all kinds of things that are exciting in life. You know, when you get to start, I'm not a big lover of change, but if I have to, I look forward to the challenge. Well, every time I've started a new church, it's almost like there's a high. You know, there's just this excitement and enthusiasm because, man, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great, right? And so all that training and everything that I've spent all this time learning and experiencing and doing, I figure that everything is going to be always like it is the first day. Kind of like your marriage. It's always going to be like the honeymoon, right? Yeah. Everybody's going, uh-huh. Yeah. Well, shouldn't it be? I mean, that's what our goal is, right? We want to be always on that extremely excited, you know, this is awesome, entheos in God. This is the way it's always going to be. And so we built ourselves a plane. We built ourselves an expectation. We built ourselves an idea that this is what ministry is like. And we're so excited and so enthused. And so we get started, and we start, and we start, and then boom. Thanks, Gary. I knew that. Yeah. An aeronautical engineer. I'm not, yes. But, you know, everything that goes up must come. NASA figured this out this week. Everything that goes up must come down, right? And there are going to be times in ministry where we get something started and a lot of people come and then all of a sudden something changes and for whatever reason you don't get the people that you thought were going to be coming and you get down and frustrated and that's why if you're going to keep thinking that it's going to stay at that altitude, you're going to be very depressed quickly. Beth, David, Norma. Are you hearing me? If you think it's going to stay up there and the way it is at the beginning, I'm just warning you, just like I will when I did Beth and David's wedding, and I think I tried to warn them in advance that, you know, this happens. There are times where you're feeling like you're crashing and burning. And the reason Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, and he spends a huge amount of time in chapter 1 telling them how proud he is of them, how amazed he is at their faith, how they have given him great joy in their faithfulness. I mean, he really builds these people up. Because I have a feeling, and I don't know this because it doesn't really tell us, I have a feeling that many of them were feeling like they were kind of on the path down. Maybe they were experiencing persecution. Maybe the Judaizers were coming there as they were to many of the places that Paul did ministry. Maybe there were people saying, well, you've got to become a Jew before you can be a Christian. I mean, we don't know all of the background. Thad's been teaching this during 12:15 service, and we don't know all the history, but we know that there were a lot of things, and so the altitude was coming down. I was watching yesterday with the children the Charles Lindbergh story, you know, Spirit of St. Louis, and over the ocean, he runs into ice. I don't know if you remember this story. He runs into ice fog, and he all of a sudden realizes that the Spirit of St. Louis cannot continue with all that ice on its wings and fuselage. And all of a sudden, he's trying to get back. He turns around, tries to get back to the warm air, and he starts going down. Ever watched that movie? It's an old movie. And he starts to go down, and you realize that, you know, he's going down, and what happens as he goes down? The ice starts to crack off, and all of a sudden, he has lift again. And And the reality for us, and this is what Paul's talking to the Philippian church about, is he's saying you gotta go through the humility, you gotta go through the same thing, and this is why he talks about if you want to understand ministry, if you want to understand living as a Christian, understand Jesus. Because he was in the very nature God, right? He was true God and true man. And even though he could have taken all of the power of God, and he could have kept from doing what happened, kept from happening what happened to him. What does St. Paul say? He says he did not consider equality something to be grasped, but what? Humbled himself. And if there's anything that I could encourage you who are going into ministry, anything I could encourage you is be humble. Any of you who are doing ministry as members of the church, which is all of you, if I could encourage you today on one thing, be humble. Now that sounds like the law, and it is. I'll tell you why. Because the Bible tells us pride cometh before the fall. And I have lived through an experience where pride almost killed me. And not necessarily my own pride, but the pride of people around me where, you know, they wanted to keep the altitude up. And the way they thought they'd keep the altitude up was by doing the things that they've always done. But the problem is, when you start to go down, kind of like the spirit of St. Louis when it was all iced, kind of a good illustration of church there. There's no mistake that many times it's because we're the frozen chosen. But you don't get that? Okay, not here, but I'm just saying. There are times when, you know, you really do have to come to grips with the fact that if we're going to try to keep the altitude up on our ability to work, on our ability to be great, on our abilities and our gifts and our talents, if we're going to try to do ministry like the world tries to do things, guess what? Crash and burn. I'm serious. If you're trying to do ministry, if you're trying to reach out and do evangelism on your strength, on your power, you can have the best program, you can have the best answers, you can have all the stuff. But if it isn't the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, and if it isn't God working His will and His purpose in our lives, which is what St. Paul says, right, when he talks about working out our salvation with fear and trembling, it's the work of God in the midst of His people. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives that wins people. It's not our words. Now, what he says to the Philippians is he says, if we're humble, like Jesus, he's our example, then when we humble ourselves before the Lord, he exalts us. He gives Jesus as the example. Of course, we're not going to be Jesus. I mean, Jesus is exalted to the right hand of God. His name is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. I mean, isn't that a powerful passage of Scripture? We know that's going to happen at Judgment Day. But my question for us is, are we willing to humble ourselves? Are we willing to confess our sins? Are we willing to say, we can't do this on our own? Even if we're a great church, we cannot do this on our own. Even if we have great programs, we cannot do this on our own. Even if we have great minds who can argue and be a great apologist for the gospel, we cannot do this on our own. This may sound redundant. This may sound, you probably got it all and you're going, check, check, check. Know this, Pastor. But I'm telling you, there are people within the Church of Jesus Christ that honestly think it's about the other stuff. It's about what we do. And I'm here to tell you that if you want to understand what St. Paul is saying to the church in Philippi, if you want to understand what his message is to the Philippians, he says, have the same attitude as Christ. Have the same attitude. Be humble. And understand that when we work because of the power that we have in Christ Jesus. We work by the power of the Holy Spirit. We see results because the Holy Spirit is drawing people to Himself. I love this because he goes on to say, when he goes through and says, who in being very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He goes on to say, even in when you're around church people, or when you're not, your faith, your integrity is what God cares about. How many of us act differently when we're around Christians than we do when we're not? Good question, right? I have to say, it's really easy to forget that we're an ambassador for Jesus Christ, that our citizenship in heaven makes us an ambassador for Jesus Christ, even when there's no brothers and sisters around. That's a hard message. He says, even in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Oh, man. Whew. If we could do this, this would be huge. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I not run or labor for nothing. Brothers and sisters, just think about this. What St. Paul is saying is, we hold forth the word of life. And you're going to hear this maybe every week, I don't know, until everybody can say it in unison. If not us, then who? If not now, then you're good. Because if we don't hold forth the word of life in our world today, who will? Can you hear those words as St. Paul warns the Philippians that they are in a depraved generation? How many of us have felt that way? Nothing's changed. And yet he says, it's our privilege to shine like the stars in the universe. Isn't that awesome? And it's not by our own power, but it's by God's power. It's not by our own strength, but it's by God's strength. On the front of my Bible, and the reason I picked this Bible cover is not because I like Eagles, even though now that I'm at EMU, hey, go Eagles. But I have this on the front of my Bible for what reason? Do you know what this verse is? Isaiah 40, verse 31. Yeah. Who can say it? Mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint. Isn't that an awesome passage of Scripture? Where does the power come from? Who do we work for? And what is going to keep our altitude where God wants it to be? The Holy Spirit, His power. So may we soar like eagles, not on our own strength, but on God's power. That's my prayer for you who are going into ministry, who are going to be installed today, but also for each one of us, that we not try to do this on our own, brothers and sisters, but that we do this with God's power, His amazing power through the Holy Spirit, so that our altitude is based upon an attitude of humility and upon the grace and power of our God. Amen.